Jonah chapter 4, that's in the Old Testament. Just find all those minor prophets and go Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Or look on with your neighbor who's quicker than you. Now, Jonah chapter 4, we're just going to be reading in unison the first four verses. Of Jonah chapter 4. Let's stand please together, something we do to give honor to the public reading of the Word of God. Jonah 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's read in unison this morning. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry. May the Lord add his blessing on this, the reading of his word, and you may be seated. We're getting ready for the Lord's table this morning as we look at this particular passage, and we would all do well this morning to remember that it's pretty easy to underestimate how deeply sin is rooted in all of us, how hard our hearts can be. I think sometimes that our whole approach to God has become institutionalized and superficial. We're used to doing certain things in certain ways, and to coming to church and to singing certain things and to hearing certain things, and it all becomes so formal and so organized that we never actually do business with God, and that our hearts never change. And that's the great lesson that we're seeing here. This is not a book about Nineveh, it's a book about Jonah. It's a book about what God is constantly trying to teach Jonah, and he wants to teach all of Israel. And the fact is, to this day, Israel never learns this lesson. They never lose the hardness of heart. To this day, and that's what the tribulation is all about, God is going to teach Israel by one means or by another about hardness of heart and turning back to him. And in this particular passage, it's interesting that we're presented with a man who God has already worked in so many different ways to say, I want you to change. One of the hardest things to change is bigotry. I'm sure all of us believe we don't have any, but we've all got plenty in one way or the other. We all have our conception of how God's going to work, of how God has to do things. And we try to fit God into our box instead of coming and worshiping God and taking what he gives. And that's what Jonah's trying to do here. And it's the hardness of his heart is what's amazing. He doesn't want to change. And as we look at this passage today, I'd like you to ask yourself a question before you come to this table. Just how much have you changed recently? How much different are you at the end of this year than you were at the beginning? What have you specifically changed? What is it in your life that you've specifically surrendered to God and said, God, I've seen what you're like, and I want to be like you, and I'm going to change to be like you? Name me one thing this year that you've done. If not, you need this message maybe more than you think. Because that's what serving God is all about. It's about changing. God's not interested in just the surface thing, that I look a certain way and I change on the outside. God's interested in reaching right down where sin is rooted, and that's in your inner man. And he has made a new man of you, and now he wants to get rid of all those things that aren't appropriate to that new man. And those things are deeply rooted. And by the way, the older you get, the harder it gets to change. Because they've been there longer. Because you now look at those things as part of your personality, part of your life, part of your experience. when in many cases, all they represent for me and for you are a sin that won't let go, that has been attached so long it's grown onto your body. And God comes to Jonah and he wants to do radical surgery. And the things that God uses to change Jonah, and the things that therefore Jonah resists. In order to say this to God, he had to resist everything God was doing. And I want to start out today by looking at what Jonah resisted to this point. How many things God had used to speak to him, and how many things Jonah had resisted, just to show you how hard his heart was. Come back to chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. First thing Jonah had to resist was this right here, the word of God. He heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. This particular word, by the way, had to come to him twice before he obeyed it. But there's a difference between obeying the word and making the word part of your life. You know, you can go out and say, okay, well, I won't commit adultery. But that doesn't mean that you've built God's principles of marriage into your life. You can go out and say, I won't steal, but that doesn't mean you've built God's principles of honesty into your life. Just keeping the rules doesn't make you holy. Holiness is being like God. Jonah going to Nineveh was obedience. It wasn't holiness. Holiness would have been becoming like the God that he was talking about in verse 2 if Jonah had become loving and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in mercy. Then Jonah would have been holy. He would have been like his God, but he wasn't. The word of God, the Bible teaches, sanctifies people. But it doesn't sanctify by osmosis. You can't sit here and listen to me preach and come out of here with some of it rubbing off on you. You've got to do something with it. Jonah obeyed the word and he still didn't get any holier. That's frightening. You can come out of here and do what the word tells you to do and still not be holy. Did you know that? Holiness isn't obedience. Obedience can be practiced by people who have no change on the inside whatsoever. I find that the Jews keep the laws of the Bible very well. Jesus said you're not holy. Keeping the law and obeying does not make you holy. And he had to reject the real purpose of the law. God gives you and speaks to you because he wants you to be like him. God doesn't want you to obey the rules. He wants you to be like him. God isn't in the business of spelling out every little thing he wants you to do, and then he'll be happy. God says, become like me. Stop being like you and be like me. And Jonah wouldn't do it. Jonah had to resist almost dying. God almost killed him. In fact, I believe he did. Jonah came back from the dead, in my opinion, and was no different than before. You know, it's kind of interesting. When Lazarus died and was brought back from the dead, the Bible doesn't say that that changed his life. We don't know if Lazarus was saved. We never hear a word that Lazarus says through the whole thing. And we have this idea that if I go through some really deep life experience, it'll change me. You forget it. To use a family illustration here, I have a relative who is known as being mean, nasty, and cheap. And he almost died. Very, very sick. And he almost died. And he loosened his purse strings. But then the worst of all things happened. He recovered. Now he's just as mean and nasty and cheap as he ever was. I want to tell you, his life didn't change. He didn't change. He almost died, and when he was about to die, I was like, oh, I'll do better. Oh, nonsense. Experiences don't change you. They don't. Only holiness changes you. It only makes you more like God. That's the only thing that changes you. And he had been through that. He'd been down and drowned. He'd been inside the fish. He'd been back to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something else. He had seen one of the greatest works of God anybody can see. I really believe that one of the reasons why many people have never gotten the fervor in their life for God that others have is they have never seen God at work. They've never seen revival in the sense of Christians loving the Lord. They've never seen something that was so obviously the hand of God that there's no denying it. Some people don't trust in the Lord for their life and their money and their career that they've never been so out of money that they couldn't see the bottom of the barrel and then pray and have God give it to them. They've never had their needs met from God's hand to their mouth. I have. I have seen that over and over and over in my life. But I'll tell you, there are people like me who have seen God work over and over and over again who still doubt, who still go through the problem. Some people have never seen it. They've never come in touch with God. Sometimes it's true of teenagers. They've never had a desperate need and seen God meet it. They've never really experienced a tremendous working of God, been part of a vibrant body of believers, and said, God is real. And so their disbelief is, in some sense, is understandable. It's foreign to them. But what about people like me, pastors, who work for God, who see God use what we do? It's not my work. I've seen God use what I do. And then I still don't change. I'm like Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, preached the word, and it wasn't anything he did. He got away with as little as possible. All he said was, 40 days and you're destroyed. He preached a part of it, by the way, that he really, that he wanted to. The only hope he gave them was that little word, yet. Yet, you still got 40 days. One word of hope, and that's all he gave them. And God changed the whole city. I want to tell you, if we saw a preacher today who went down to Washington, D.C. and did there what Jonah did, I would hope that guy would believe in the Lord. Washington, D.C. has the strictest gun control laws any place on the face of the planet. More people die by the gun in Washington, D.C. than died in Israel, Beirut, Lebanon, and all of the Middle East last year. Do you realize that? More people died by the gun in Washington, D.C. than died by the gun in Lebanon. That's incredible. I wish somebody could go there and do the work of Jonah. I wish God would only give him 40 days. You know, I feel like Jonah. Yeah, 40 days. Time's up. I want a new capital. Put this one out in Oklahoma or someplace so I don't have to pay attention to it. But if I were to go down there and I were to preach and I were to see a whole city repent. Now these people, I don't believe they were born again, but they repented and they turned from the violence that was in their hands. If I saw that happen, you would think I'd believe in God and say, God, you're a wonderful, great God. I can do these mighty things. Forget it. Didn't affect Jonah in the least. It displeased Jonah. He saw something that preachers, we just crave to see. I pray for this kind of thing, and I do. I walk around this auditorium during the week, and I pray, and I say, God, get a hold of my church. Change the people. I don't want you to be better. I want you to be different. I want you to be changed. I want people to look at your life and say, you couldn't do that by yourself. My kids go to school, and they grow, and they learn, and they become better. I don't want that for you. I don't want anything in your life that can be done by something outside of the Lord. I want to see things happen in this church and people look at it and say, only God could have done that. I want a work of God here. And I pray and I pray. And I see it in a little way. And I see it in a little way. Jonah saw it in a wonderful, complete, overwhelming way, and it displeased him. Our hearts are so hard. We hate to change. We can't stand to change. You bring this to people in the church, and the things that Christians over and over hate to do is to change. The most necessary, the most vital part of life is change. It's the most vital part of physical life, changing. If you don't change, you don't live. If your body isn't able to exchange food to take in that chocolate chip cookie I had this morning, if my body is unable to take that from the form of cookie and chip and to turn that into nutrients in my bloodstream, I die. If my body does not turn over each of its elements and that new things are growing and new things being created, if my body doesn't change, I die. We were at Bob's 80th birthday party 2 days early yesterday. And you know, when you think about getting older, and you know, people are bothered by getting older, let me tell you, it beats the alternative. You know, there's only one way to stop getting older. And that's to die. I want to tell you, you look at a Christian, and how many Christians have stopped getting older? They've stopped changing. That's what, by the way, growing older is. It's changing. And you don't want to change as a Christian. How different are you this year? How many things deeply rooted in your life have been changed? How much are you becoming more and more and more settled in what you are? That's not being a Christian. That's not the genuine life. And that's what Jonah, a man of God, a minister, a prophet, a guy who wrote Bible for us, we see this. By the way, I'm not sure Jonah wrote this book. This might have been a book written about Jonah at a later date. But he was part of it. He spoke the word of God. It was his prayer that's recorded here. Notice what else he does. It says it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He's not just blind. He's not just annoyed. He's raving mad at God. He's furious at God. The greater the work of God, the madder he gets at God. His emotions, in fact, it says down here in verse 3, take my life from me. Kill me. The last thing I wanted to do was to be used of you to save a Gentile. That's the last thing Jonah wanted from God. He would rather die. By the way, that happened literally, in my opinion, to the nation of Israel. They would rather die than change and accept the Messiah. That was the prophecy of Jesus Christ. They would rather die as a nation than accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Kind of interesting when you're blind to what the Lord does, and when you're constantly, you harden your heart, something else goes hand in hand with it, and that's justifying. Notice that's what he does here. Ah, Lord, wasn't this what I said when I was still in my country before you dragged me over here to these people to talk about these things? I told you so. You're telling God I told you so? I was right. This is the God who drowned you. This is the God who enfished you. This is the God who had the fish vomit you. This is the God who can still do it. I don't know. Maybe God did it again. You know, maybe Jonah walked out and drowned. I don't know. It's interesting. God uses first the ocean, and next we're going to see he uses the desert. And it's interesting how the book plays those two things off against one another. But he turns to God and says, I told you so. I was right all along. Sin holds on so tight, and we are so stubborn with our sin that we think we've got it conquered. We think that we've turned it all over to God, and the slightest occasion it all comes back again. Oh, I forgave you. Oh, I dealt with that sin. Oh, I gave that up. And sin is so deeply rooted inside of us that the least little opportunity, it not only comes back in full force, but we justify the fact that we had it in the beginning. Oh, my parents raised me like that. Oh, it's just my temperament. I'm Irish, and I happen to lose my temper every day. You know, oh, you have to understand, that's just me. I don't care if that's just you. That's not Christ. Don't tell me it's just you. Tell me it's Christ. And he comes to God and says, I was right and you were wrong. I told you this would happen. The point he misses is that God told him it would happen. Sure, you told God this is what was going to happen. And God says, yeah, I know that's what's going to happen because I'm going to make it happen. And he didn't want to hear it because he was thinking about himself instead of God. And he stands, and it's interesting, his own words come back to haunt him. Notice, come back with me in verse 8, 7 and 8. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you in your holy temple. He says, when I had nothing, when I was at the end of my rope, I remembered you and my prayer went up to you. Then notice what he says. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. He said, people who are idolaters, people who don't know about you, people who worship a dead God instead of a living, vibrant God, these kinds of people don't know it, but they're denying their own mercy. They're turning their back on such a merciful and loving God. What's going to happen here is that's what Jonah's going to do. Instead of living with a God who is alive and interested in changing him, interested in reaching into his life and changing his very attitude, instead of living with that, Jonah turns and accuses God of being gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and a God who delights in turning away from the things that he had talked about doing and doing wonderful things. Boy, there's a terrible accusation, isn't it? I knew you were merciful. You couldn't fool me for long. I knew you were loving kind. I knew that you didn't want to do evil. Aren't those the things he was depending on for himself? Isn't that what he's depending on? And yet he turns to God and accuses God of being kind. You know, it's so interesting to see how people can turn their back on who God really is. You come to a table like this, and then it's very solemn. We bring the deacons up. We do it in such a way, and the pastor gives a warning and an admonition of what the table's all about. And it's all to remind us that our God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And people can do this month after month after month and never change, never respond to God. If you really believe that God is that kind of a God, you should change. And if you haven't changed, you don't believe it. That's the bottom line. Jonah says these things. He says he knew these things, but it never got down to here. Jonah is a prophet. Jonah looks to me like if there's ever a regular Baptist in the Old Testament, it was Jonah. And yet it never got down to here. And I wonder, every time we serve communion, I don't look up to see who partakes. I think it's a personal business. It's between you and the Lord. Two, I've got personal business to do. It's between me and the Lord. And I've got to worry about my life down here. But I'll tell you, another reason is I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to look at your life and wonder, are you really going to change? Are you going to walk out of this service this morning the way you've walked out of services morning after morning? You figure, I look at my life, I've done this 12 times a year, and I was saved when I was 6. For me, that's about 25 years. I've done this 12 times a year. I don't know the math on that, but it's quite a few. Hardly missed a service. How much have I changed? What about this past year? How many times have I come and God has done everything? By the way, he used so many things to teach Jonah. Look at what he uses to teach you. He shows you things. The music is there to provide an atmosphere to make you think about God. The word is preached. The ceremony, every little bit of it, right down to the use of unleavened bread and grape juice to remind you of Christ and to say, Jesus gave his life so that you would be different. And are you any different this year than you were? This is December. And I'd like you to really ask yourself what you've got to show for a year of walking with God. Are you like Jonah? I don't care. Maybe you've been like Jonah. You've been up and down. Maybe your life is, in many ways, has turned completely around. Jonah certainly had an eventful year, but he was no different. And I'm not talking about have you been through a lot this year. I'm talking about are you any different? And when you come to do business with that gracious and merciful and loving, kind God this morning, you think about whether you're any different and whether you're simply recognizing the way Jonah did with your mind instead of worshiping with God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I stand before you convicted out of my own mouth by these words and the things that I could have and should have done. And I'd ask this morning, Father, that you might bless us. I'd ask that what we say and do together would be done in sincerity and openness of heart. Change us, that you'd reach down into my life this morning and those things that I'm holding on to, those things that I'm unwilling to see, those things that I've been doing and doing and doing, that you might change, that you might remove, make me like yourself. Make me more gracious, Father. Make me more, have more of your loving kindness. Give me more of a heart to care. Father, those things that you see in each of our lives this morning, may you change by your Holy Spirit.